Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Now Spinning. Today in the room with me, I have...
Tyler Reck.
Jacob Zokvic.
And Noah Miller.
And I am still Simon Medina. Welcome
Forever
back, everybody.
Always.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure.
I mean, he could change his name if he wanted.
Yeah, you're going to be surprised next time, don't you
right.
worry.
Slagathor, yeah. Destroyer of Worlds, host
Who told
of
you?
Now Spinning.
All right. Speaking of names, however, today we have an interesting topic for our meeting we did on November the 26th of 2024. And the theme was, What's Your Name? And every song that was played today, minus the first one, but that's for a good reason, had a name in it. And we have some interesting ones to talk about here. But first, I want to start off with the first song that was played, which is Who Are You by The Who.
I brought that one in.
Classic. Yeah, that was fun.
It's that English single, Picture Sleeve, which I am very proud of.
It's cool. Fancy.
Nice. That was I love that song just because of like The Who were always ridiculous doing like Who's Next and like had funny album names like clearly bordering on puns. And for The Who to do Who Are You is just another classic example of that, where it's like, you guys are having a little bit too much fun with this.
Yeah, I can't think of a better song to start off a meeting that's all people's names, though. That was inspired.
Yeah, this is like textbook, like,
yeah,
101.
I was thinking of doing that for like months and months and months. And
as soon
months.
As you saw the
yeah,
idea.
I was like, oh, brilliant. I'm definitely bringing this in.
Love it.
It's powerful. Moving on from that one, though, we have... was this Martin by Soft Cell? That's a good band.
Yeah. So Soft Cell, kind of just recently got into them myself. I didn't bring this one in. I don't remember who it is.
I'm
I
pretty sure
Soft
it was,
Cell.
Pretty sure it was Steve.
Yeah, seems like a Steve thing. But just a classic sort of electro synth pop duo from the 80s.
Need a little narrative into it. I mean, you know, it's like it's just kind of like a killer, basically. Just he's watched too many movies and he's getting all these crazy ideas from all the things that he like listens to, and you know, it's just general like media panic of that kind of nature there. Mm-hmm.
A lot of Soft Cell songs lyrically have a very dark tone. They're one of the first electronic groups to like introduce discussions about drugs into their songs and stuff too, and how that can affect you and things. And that's like, yeah, it's a serious tone for what is essentially just dance music, but it also forces you to take it a lot more seriously, which is cool too.
Yeah, a lot of their stuff, they definitely lean into like kind of the post-punk kind of sound a little bit. Mm-hmm. In addition to obviously like a lot of the dance stuff from that time was kind of linked to that, like, you know, New Order.
Yeah, in a weird kind of way.
It was very
intertwined in genres that we don't necessarily think of as being similar, but like fundamentally kind of are.
Yeah, that's great. Interesting stuff. But moving on from that one, though, we have a favorite song of mine from a favorite album of mine and a favorite album of one of our friends who couldn't be here today, and that is Amelia by Joni Mitchell off the album Hejira. This is maybe my favorite song that she's ever written, and that's a tall order, but...
My favorite Joni Mitchell song that she's written is Woodstock.
That's a good one. That's a very good one, though. But this one is a very interesting song because it ties together, I believe, like one of Joni Mitchell's own experiences of kind of just being like lost in the desert with Amelia Earhart and her story of getting lost. And it's very evocative imagery. It's a very good song. I wish I could like get more in depth with it, but I'm trying to remember.
I agree with you.
It's a very lyrically complex one.
Right,
it's a good song, though. Shout out to that album. We love that album.
Yeah.
So
Leo, I'm sure, is glad to got it.
Yeah, we got
it in
that
one in.
So now we've got Andrew Eldritch is moving back to Leeds. This one is actually pretty interesting. It's by the Mountain Goats, which on their Spotify page, it basically says that for all intents and purposes, it's one guy, John Darnielle, and whoever he chooses to have around him at that moment. But it's just kind of like a one man thing, and you know, he brings people in. I just kind of really respect that sort of work style and just being so like singular minded in the vision that you want to do, that you're just really excited to bring people on to realize that.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of the drifter mentality a little bit, you know, the vagabond drifter kind of style of like, I'm going to go from town to town, getting work anywhere I can. And it's like to be a musician and say, I'm just going to drift from one musician working with me to another and just keep making music. And it's got to be lonely in some ways, but you must get so much more variety. Like, I'll bet you they're never really bored.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to go back to this guy a lot, but Frank Zappa, it's very much that kind of energy, and just, I don't know, I just super respect that. I don't know.
Yeah. Zappa is good. I've been getting into him, and I learned the other day, I was looking up, you know, the whole thing with the theater or whatever that caught fire.
Yeah. You know, smoke on the water.
Then the next morning I was heading to work, and on 92.9 they were like talking about music like lesson whatever, and they were talking about lessons. The smoke on the water, and I was like, man, I was just reading about that last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty wild story.
Yeah.
We got off topic.
Very off topic.
But that's okay.
But yeah. Follow the story. Great artist.
So the next song we've got. Is that all you had?
Just Andrew Eldritch. Really, really good track. Really nice laid back. Cool chord progressions. Just really cool structure of how the band and the guy John Darnielle works. Yeah, just really respect that.
Okay. So the next song on the playlist is a song that I brought in. That's Sheena Is a Punk Rocker by the Ramones. Love the Ramones. This is actually from one of their later albums, interesting.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, later is relative, but it's not from like the first four. But it was after they had started to kind of wane in commercial success, and this was another kind of big hit for them. And it's actually kind of like stylistically a little bit different. It has very obvious like surf rock influences. But still pretty squarely within the world of punk rock and just like classic song. So I looked this up right before this. Sheena is based on a comic book character, but otherwise isn't an actual person. They just wanted to write like a punk rock anthem for all the gals out there that want to get into it, which is super cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a good.
Oh, yeah. Also, apparently one of the first songs to explicitly mention punk rock, like the term punk rock. So there you go. If you're ever wondering why does everybody say the Ramones invented punk rock? So, well, because they were pretty influential.
They said it first.
Kind of big deal. But that's fair. That's all I got for them.
Good band.
And we got Neil and Jack and Me by King Crimson.
Did you bring that in?
Yeah, that was me.
This is the complete opposite side of the spectrum from the Ramones, I think, musically speaking.
Yeah, in some ways.
We have wacky transitions here in these meetings.
Yeah, there's some that are pretty kind of like whip your head around. It's like, whoa, okay.
I always love when we do that, though. it's just so jarring.
It's one of the best parts of meetings whenever that kind of thing comes around.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Neil and Jack and Me, just a cool, like, kind of sort of math rock kind of thing. Whenever I listen to this track, I always think of Mac DeMarco for some reason. Just the part of it is like the guitar tone, and then like the interweaving like rhythmic melodies of the guitars there. I don't know. That's just what pops into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just really fun. This was about like the Beat Generation, hence it's on the Beat album, and it's mentioning Jack Kerouac, and I forget who the Neil is in reference to.
Mm. Is it Neil Young, friend of the show? I'm pretty sure we've definitely made that joke before.
Maybe.
Oh, friends of the show. Yeah, we have tons of those.
No, I mean specifically Neil Young. I think
specifically Neil. We might have made that joke.
Yeah, Georgia got played at a meeting, and I think we had a whole spiel about Neil Young. Anyway, sorry to keep referencing our own material.
But I might jump back in and mention who the Neil is in later, since I'm having kind of trouble finding it right now. Yeah. I'm very sorry about that.
So who played next? We've got Clementine by Elliott Smith.
That was Leo.
It was
Leo.
Okay.
Elliott Smith, that's another great artist that I've been getting into a lot recently. Yeah. It's beautiful melodies. The vocals are very, like, it's like they're both, like, at the same time, it's, like, really, like, vulnerable, but, like, you know, it's very, like, he's very confident what he's singing, I think. Mm. It's what it is. And, like, this album is very, like, stripped back. Most of the songs are just, like, him and a guitar. Occasionally there's, like, drums in there, but that's one of my favorite songs by him. That's a great album.
Sometimes
his first album.
Sometimes you gotta be confidently vulnerable.
You know?
If you go into therapy and you're not gonna confidently tell them what's wrong with you, then you're missing the mark. You gotta be confidently vulnerable.
Yeah,
and honestly,
true.
As a singer, it's hugely important for connecting with an audience.
Right.
Hugely important to like to go out there and show part of yourself, to be vulnerable, but like to do it with confidence, because otherwise people are going to be uncomfortable, and that can be challenging to connect with people if you're not, you know, confidently vulnerable. That's I've never heard that
phrase
before.
I totally heard somebody else say that
really
before, but
one.
I thought
it's
it really applied here. Yeah, that's Elliott Smith, though. Most of his stuff is really just like sad stuff, but like it's delivered in like a It's just like a very honest way, you know. I think you can't help but empathize with it, you know. It's very good.
Yeah.
Next, if I may, we have one double, and this is going to be one of two doubles, I think.
Yeah.
Candy Says and Stephanie Says, both by the Velvet Underground. I think Candy Says is off their
self-titled. Yep. Yeah.
And Stephanie Says is off of VU or VU or
compilation.
Whatever. Yeah, a 1985 compilation of all like their lost hits or lost songs, mm-hmm. I should say. Can't really be a hit if it's a lost song, you know.
Very true.
Yeah, I love Stephanie Says so much. Cool. It really speaks to me.
No, that's a good song. Yeah, Velvet Underground's another one of those really interesting bands because there's like two different sides of that band. I think there's like this side, which is like the soft kind of folk rock, dreamy kind of thing, and then obviously there's like their, you know, hard edge of proto, like I'm just like proto punk kind of stuff where they invented that kind of thing.
Well, and even their just personal history is so insane.
Oh, absolutely.
And all of that whole scene was so weird and occasionally not so great, you know, but just some next level stuff.
Absolutely. They're also just kind of like living like renegades. They're really just kind of on the edge of society there.
And
a lot of their songs kind of encapsulate that feeling too.
Yeah, that's
cool.
I love Stephanie Says. I love
it's a very good song.
Gives me good feelings and, you know, of past people, I guess, that have I've, you know, been around and past places I've been.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
There's something about music that makes warm memories so much more ready to pop back in your head.
Absolutely. Cool.
There's an interesting thing about Candy Says, too, is that there's a game called Immortality that came out in 2022. And this kind of comes from a Jacob Geller video where he analyzes this particular thing. But the idea of the game is that you're discovering like hidden scenes in like three different movies that don't exist in real life, but they're made for the game. But you're going through all these different like film reels and stuff, and there's points of the game where your controller will vibrate and you can find some extra content there, and the extra content has this like alter ego of like one of the actress that's in all three movies, and like kind of takes over and like really twists like certain scenes into like really like dark directions and stuff like that. And there's a scene where the song Candy Says comes in as the character is like just really just nakedly exposing like their feelings about like how they don't fit in, how they don't feel like they're actually this person, and how they don't fit in their body. Basically kind of the message of the song itself, and it just really really elevates the impact of that scene a lot more.
Yeah.
Cool.
Stephanie Says, shout out to a certain equestrian from Florida.
What?
That she turned me on to the song.
Cool.
That's a good song. Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. Right on.
Shout out. All
right. Yeah.
But anyway. Moving ahead, it's a song that's musically kind of similar, I think, in the folk rock sense to the Velvet Underground stuff, but it's a Simon and Garfunkel song, Kathy's song. This is the first of, I think, two Paul Simon-related songs that was played today, so.
Yeah, I brought in Kathy's song.
That's a good one.
Cool. Yeah, very good.
A little song.
Yeah.
But.
Yep, all right, Simon and Garfunkel. Moving on. after that nice little run of, calm, contemplative folk stuff, somebody who will remain nameless threw, like, a Molly by Ween, which is an awful noise rock song.
Molly.
Exactly. Awful song. I hate it. I love it so much.
Yeah.
But it could have been anybody who played that. As soon as we find them,
get away from Ween.
They need to bring him to justice if they find him.
Even the meetings that Simon doesn't come to, somebody plays Ween.
Yeah, I've got people. Don't you worry. I've got people for that.
Oh my.
You got moles.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. And then this song, I don't have too much to say about it other than this is a powerful band name that is the Jesus Lizard. The song Then Comes Dudley. That's like another noise rock thing. A little bit more conventional than the Ween song.
Yeah.
Good one.
A little bit more like, just kind of conventional noise. But for this one, I mostly want to shout out the man who got me into Jesus Lizard in the first place, and that would be Tyler Blakesley.
Shout out to Tyler. From Tyler.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Mr. Blakesley is no longer with us, but he mentioned this in one of our classes one time. I think he had this on in the background at one point, and you know, we asked him, hey, what's this? And he said, Jesus Lizard. So, and Tyler Blakesley, he was an amazing guy. He could dig into media and text like just very thoroughly, very, very deeply. And yeah, just respect to my man out there. And yeah, hope you're doing well.
Yeah, we have all those people come and go in our lives that always mean so much to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so very memory focused episode so far. I mean, that's part of names, though. I mean, names carry so much meaning. So
that's very true.
But moving on from the heart-to-heart we just had, that was really beautiful. But we have Anna by Los Psychos. This is an interesting song that somebody brought in. I did a little bit of research on this band.
Sarah,
yeah. And they're a Peruvian garage rock band, and that's an interesting sound. It's very, like, punkish, like it's compared to, like, you know, a lot of the stuff that was coming right around the time.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah. That sounds pretty sick.
Pretty good song. I don't know anything about the band. If I did, I would say something about it.
Naturally. That's all right.
I want to look into that. Yeah.
It was a good vibe of the song.
And next we've got Clarina by Peter Beal, a German artist, East or West, I'm not sure.
Probably
West. It's not on the playlist because it's not on Spotify.
That's all right.
But if you look it up on YouTube, it's really good. If I may, I say Freund der Show, which is friendly show in German.
We're bilingual now. Multilingual podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Polyglots unite.
Exactly.
Okay.
But anyway, now for something completely different, we have Mad Mad Judy by The Buzzcocks.
Yeah.
It's a good song. I got to say about it.
The Buzzcocks, just like the Ramones, another really early punk group.
They're British then? Are they American?
Yeah, British. Okay. British punk group.
Sounds British. Yeah.
And you can kind of tell there's some stylistic things very different between American punk and British punk. But yeah, the Buzzcocks were one of the first ones. Like, they didn't even, like, a lot of their, like, most famous stuff wasn't even released on albums. It was compiled later. Very fast sound, not necessarily heavy, more lyrical in moments, but 100% punk and very cool.
Yeah, still pretty aggressive.
Almost always. Yeah. And always outrageous, really.
Yeah, very much.
All right, so now we have Diana by Comus. This was kind of like a power folk, I think that's how it's described. It's like more intense, kind of darker folk stuff going on in there. I think one of the influences that's mentioned on their page is like King Crimson, stuff like that. They only came out with 3 studio albums. They came out with the one with Diana, which is First Utterance in 71. And then they came out with another one in 1974. That one, I can't quite find the name of that one, but they had one in 2012 come out called Out of the Coma, which kind of fitting, you know, 40-year absence.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But yeah, no, really cool, kind of dark, kind of brooding, sort of dark folk track, yeah.
All I have to add here is that this album cover frightens me.
Oh yeah, it's pretty freaky.
Weird album cover.
Yep.
We'll have to look at it again.
We'll have to look at it. Yeah, I'll show you.
I don't know, but yeah. That's not too
weird.
And Noah, the one episode where we don't have visual aids.
Yeah,
you guys
are just Noah is
kids
showing me.
Google this.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's look up the album.
But
all right, I've seen worse.
Now for something completely different. Again, we have "You Can Call Me Al" by Paul Simon.
I brought that in, and I'm very happy that everybody seemed to like it.
Oh, everybody loves this song. This is like one of the most cheerful, just like. Yeah, no, nobody. I refuse to believe anybody hates this song.
I defy you to find someone who says that. I hate this song so much.
So good.
It's so full of joy.
So good.
I had heard the Tin Whistle solo like a while back, and I didn't know what it was from. I saw like a video of some guy who does like a saxophone.
I've seen this video.
Yeah, I've seen this video. He plays saxophone, but he like whips out this like tin whistle from his like breast pocket like at a show, and they're playing the song, and he does the tin whistle solo, like nails it.
Nice.
And I was like, dude, this is tight. I really want to find what this song is, but I had no idea until we played this one at this meeting.
Really?
I literally had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome.
First of all, let me just, because I assume you don't know enough Paul Simon, just go listen to a bunch of Paul Simon.
I haven't done a deep dive into him personally yet.
He's got good stuff.
Outstanding songwriter.
Listen to some Simon and Garfunkel, too. That's pretty good.
Great songwriter.
It's good. I actually prefer his solo stuff, but
I've only ever listened to Graceland all the way through, but that is a great album.
So if I have something to mention about this. Speaking of solos, Steve explained this to us during the meeting. There's a famous bass solo in the middle of the song, and you hear it, and you're like, how the heck did they play that? they didn't play that. It is actually the bass part reversed.
Mm.
And that's why it sounds so wild, and that's why it sounds so weird.
Yeah, the volume swells.
Literally, and... literally reversed. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're not going to do that. You pick up a bass. You're not just going to figure that out, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a super cool, simple technique. You know, all they had to do was reverse the tape, you know? But
that's so cool.
It is sick. It is sick. Really and awesome. It's like you don't get a lot of bass breaks and stuff in, you know, 4 minute pop songs. So it's super cool to hear.
One of the more notable ones.
Yeah,
definitely.
Next is our second and last double, Carmelita Twice.
Yeah.
Warren
Zevon and Linda Rodstadt.
Yeah.
And after this meeting, I was listening to Warren Zevon's Carmelita so much.
Oh, it's a good song.
And I was like, oh man, you know. It's really good. And I was like, man, he made more stuff than just Werewolves of London.
You would be surprised.
And so Warren Zevon was more prolific as a songwriter, really.
Yeah.
Like, he has a ton of songs that ended up becoming hits, but his performance of them are not the ones that anybody cares about.
Yeah.
This is a perfect example. So I don't remember who brought in Zevon, but I brought in the Linda Ronstadt one. Love Linda Ronstadt, just an amazing singer, a pretty amazing person if you ever read about her life and some of the things that she took an interest in. But yeah, this is one of her early albums. The songs themselves, the two tracks here themselves, sound remarkably similar.
Yeah,
so like, they would have been recorded like within a year or two of each other and released within a year or two of each other, and you can really tell. And the Warren Zevon version's pretty good. But the Ronstadt version is just incredible. Her voice is so powerful in just every song. But even more than that, her tone in this song, like the way Zevon is singing it, is very sort of like relegated. And like the song's about being a heroin addict. So like he talks about methadone and all kinds of stuff.
Something that you would actually hear listening to on the outskirts of town, like in some little cowboy town like where my mom lives.
And it's got a very like broken down sound and stuff like that, like especially the way he sings it. But Linda Ronstadt's is like more moving in a way. The sound is so much more depressed and less like aloof and more just straight up down and out, you know what I mean? And it hits really hard. There's one line change in the song. She changes one of the lines to Smith & Wesson to make one of the lyrics more clear that they are referencing a gun because they're discussing suicide because being a heroin addict sucks. Don't do it.
Okay.
Final record club advice for the day.
Don't do heroin.
Don't do drugs or anything like that.
Yep.
All right. So we got My Michelle by Guns N' Roses.
This was a song that was played.
Yeah, it was.
Guns N' Roses.
All right.
I like Guns N' Roses just fine. They're a little bit corny sometimes, but
they're a band.
They do like the big 80s like rock sound, kind of like Van Halen stuff, a little bit after Van Halen.
But next up.
Oh my. No, go ahead.
Yeah, Jimmy by The Undertones.
I like this one a lot.
Yeah.
This is like another one of those punk. I don't know if this one's punk, but it's like a lot more pop punk, I think, than like straight up punk rock.
It's a little bit softer.
It's more upbeat. It's pretty good. I like this one a lot. That's all I have to say about it. It's just a good song.
I'm sorry, but all I can think of insights. When I see Jimmy, all I can think of is Jenny, you know.
It happens. You got similar lyrics. It's going to get you. It's going to get you.
You know, yeah.
That was a good song.
But,
moving on from this one, great transitions today.
Yeah,
I'm going to touch on this for like half a second. The continuing story of Bungalow Bill. I just wanted to play it because I brought in the White Album. And I think I picked the wrong name song because there's like three other songs that are people's names on there that are way better than this one.
But that's all right. It's a good enough song.
You wanted to play Dear Prudence, and I was like, no, play the continuing story of Bungalow Bill.
Thanks.
So it's your fault.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's a fun little song.
And moving on. great transitions.
We're learning.
We've got Magnus the Savior from episode 4 of X-Men 97, which I like. Yeah, watch it.
Still haven't seen it, sorry.
Magneto was right. just go watch it.
That's a hot. That's not the official position of the Bottle Rocket Club.
Well, no, I know, but if you watch the show, you'd realize that he was right. Xavier's dream was wrong and stuff.
Oh my!
They delve into all that stuff in the show.
I'm gonna have to watch it. I'll get around to it.
I'll do it eventually. Yeah.
It's on the list.
Time Sentinels and all this other stuff. All
right.
Anyway, moving on again. Noah, you brought this one in.
Yeah. Can you tell we're running out of time? We have Sister Andrea by Mahavishnu Orchestra Between Nothingness and Eternity, recorded live in Central Park. This album is a collection of three songs that were initially going to be recorded at the Trident. I believe that's a studio that they were going to be recording at.
Yeah.
But it was lost to time, and they just recently refound them, rediscovered them, and re-released it as the Trident Sessions with a couple extra songs that were initially supposed to be on their third album.
Cool.
And then we got Cindy Tells Me by Brian Eno.
Friend of the show. Yeah, shout out Brian Eno.
We've talked about Brian Eno loads. We love Brian Eno. This is one of the more chill songs the album. Not the most chill song.
It's a fun little song.
It's okay.
It's a good album. I love this album. It's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Eno slander.
I'm not a big fan of Brian Eno.
What? It's okay. Get out. We love Brian Eno.
That's the thing about me is like all these guys and gals that come to the club love all these bands. And I'm like,
that's okay.
You don't have to like everything.
Yeah.
I like Brian Eno's like ambient stuff.
He's a good producer. I love the ambient. I love the rock music. Nice. I love when he got into even some more weird stuff. You know, especially when he started doing collabs later. But
yeah, David Bowie. My favorite stuff is the stuff he produced personally. Like, he's a great producer.
Yeah. But
cool.
Last but certainly not least, we've got Alana by the Beach Boys. A good surf rock kind of thing.
You gotta have the Beach Boys in there.
We gotta kind of stop delving into all their 70s stuff and just go more earlier.
We need to delve more.
I agree.
And, you know, I got to bring in some surf rock in at some point.
Yeah, that was a good little short song to end.
Yeah.
Snuck it on there last minute.
It's like surf wop. Like,
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
They're not like surf rock as much as the other like regular pop, but like it's a little surf. A little bit of surfing in there.
A little surfy.
The album's called Surfin' USA, so they got to sneak it in there a little bit. But
yeah, they've got some very surf rock guitar parts, but
they're
well known for other stuff.
Quite a bit, but I do, however, think that that's about all of our time we have today. Thanks, everybody, for watching. If you're interested in being part of the club or checking out any of the music we brought in, check out our website where we have all of the playlists on there. We have all of our meeting dates and themes and a lot of other interesting information you need to know about the club. I'd like to say, see you later, everybody. Goodbye. We love you.
Goodbye.
Thanks a lot. I love you.
Bye. Love you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Sharing the voices of Lansing Community College. Visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Lansing Community College Performing Arts is proud to present Island Song, words by Sam Carner, music by Derek Greger. The energy and passions of New York City explode with a percussive soaring pop score in Island Song. An ambitious set of 20 and 30-somethings navigates the promises and perils of big city life. As the city spins around them, they get lost, fight back, fall in love, face setbacks, and most importantly, come alive with the strength that comes with conquering the Big Apple. Featured in LCC's Dart Auditorium, November 7th through the 9th, and November 14th and 15th. All performances are free to attend. Visit lcc.edu/showinfo for showtime information.
Protect his family from disaster. Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Lansing Community College welcomes transfer students. Transfer students may apply prior credits toward their LCC degree, certificate, or transfer program. Learn more at lcc.edu/youbelong.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
This is Amy Wagonar from the Historical Society of Michigan with a Michigan History Moment. Her name was Isabella, and during the 19th century, she became a leader of the abolitionist movement. An African-American woman who never learned to read or write, she became a living legend. She settled in Battle Creek, Michigan, and from there witnessed the emancipation of the enslaved people for whom she had labored so hard. Isabella was born about 1797 in Ulster County, New York, enslaved from birth. Isabella married an enslaved man, Thomas, in about 1815. They had 5 children, but during the next 11 years, Isabella was sold several times. She finally rebelled in 1826, taking her infant daughter, Sophia, and walking to freedom. Having essentially stolen herself, Isabella settled in New York City. She emerged on the national stage in 1843 when she announced that she would travel the North as an itinerant preacher and speak out against slavery. The abolitionist movement was still in its infancy, but Isabella journeyed through the East and Midwest, preaching against slavery and promoting human rights. Although illiterate, she was a dynamic force in the abolitionist movement. Her list of friends was a who's who of the nation's leading abolitionists: Wendell Phillips, William Lloyd Garrison, Laura Haviland, Lucretia Mott, Susan B. Anthony, and Harriet Beecher Stowe. In addition to speaking out against slavery, Isabella promoted women's rights and suffrage, temperance, and prison reform. She earned a living by selling photographs of herself that were captioned, "I sell the shadow to support the substance," and from royalties from her biography, published in 1850. She moved to Michigan in 1857, settling first in the Quaker village of Harmonia and then nearby Battle Creek. In Michigan, Isabella continued her fight for human rights. During and after the Civil War, she worked with the Freedmen's Bureau to help newly emancipated slaves. You might think that you've never heard of Isabella, but you have. You see, in 1843, the enslaved woman who stole herself changed her name. As an itinerant preacher, Isabella had become, in essence, a sojourner for truth, and that is why we know her today as Sojourner Truth. Passing away in 1883, Sojourner Truth is interred in Battle Creek's Oak Hill Cemetery. In 1999, a 12-foot-tall bronze statue of this remarkable woman was established in the city's Monument Park. This Michigan History Moment was brought to you by MichiganHistoryMagazine.org.
This is LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Lansing Community College's downtown and west campuses offer conference and event spaces that can accommodate over 500 attendees. LCC offers hybrid meeting capabilities, in-house catering, free event parking, and on-site customer service. For more information about LCC's conference and event spaces, visit lcc.edu and search conference.
Song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Lansing Community College Foundation provides scholarships that make education possible, change students' lives, and uplift our community. The foundation annually accepts scholarship applications from November through January. Learn more at lcc.edu/scholarships.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Welcome to You Are Invited, a podcast hosted by Dr. Dale Dan, where we celebrate diversity and invite everyone to share their own stories with the world. Here at Lansing Community College, we believe every voice matters. Dr. Dan and the Office of Empowerment want you, our LCC community, to be part of the conversation. Join us, share your experience, and help us build an inclusive community where everyone is heard.
Lola, such a pleasure to have you here with us.
Thank you so much.
As a part of our series that we call In Spite of Life, I'm Here. Isn't that something?
Of course it is.
Could you share a little bit more about your name in detail, where you're from, and just tell us a little bit about Lola.
Thank you so much. My name is Owolola. That's my full name. The last 4 letters of my name is Lola. That's why people call me Lola because it's easier to pronounce. I am from Nigeria. I moved to the United States 2 years ago. I am from a very big family. I'm the first of 8.
Wow.
Yeah, my dad is a twin, so my cousins are technically my siblings, so we all live together. So I have a bachelor's in counseling. I work here at LCC.
I'm a fashion designer. I own a production factory back home in my country. Wow. I started my factory like in 2015, and I've been doing that, pretty much over 10 years now. Yeah, that's about me. I love to travel. I love to meet new people. I love to learn about people's culture because it inspires my designs.
Oh, yes.
And those things just make, you know, a very, very diverse kind of design for me. And I intend pursuing my master's degree pretty soon. I'm just figuring out the funding piece.
Yes, you've decided what you're going to major in?
Yes, it's going to be an MSW.
Oh,
because my bachelor's in counseling.
It makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's so wonderful. Thanks for sharing that with us. You talk about your designer outfits. You wear it every day, almost.
Yes, I do.
And I'm fascinated by every single one I see.
Thank you so much.
If we wanted to buy them or take a look at them, you have a website, don't you?
I do have an Instagram page, not a website.
Yes, yes.
I have an Instagram page. Mm-hmm. My Instagram page is BELUCCI_LBF. That's Bellucci_LBF. That's where you see most of the things that I post up in there, like things that I create. My factory is still basically in Nigeria right now because I'm still a recent immigrant somewhat. Mm-hmm. But I intend moving things slowly here and see how, you know, I can figure out that part.
It's such an amazing blessing.
Thank
that
you.
You're bringing this fantastic clothes to America,
thank
but
you.
Also jobs to your people back home,
yes.
Right? So that I really admire that.
Thank you so much.
You were selected for this podcast, Lola, because you and I talked a few times, and I have to tell you, I was so impressed. And
thank
when
you.
I listen to stories like yours and meet with people with your personality, the first thing that comes to mind is, can't waste this. We got to get this out there. Let others know about you.
Yeah.
And I really believe that many lives can be touched by just listening to your story. And that's what the Office of Empowerment is about, using our life experiences to help others to further their own, you know. So thanks for sharing a little bit about yourself, but in such a nice big family.
Yeah.
What was your upbringing like every day?
Wow, that's a huge question. I'm the first, like I said, of eight. I had to grow up really fast.
Oh,
I
yes.
did not have a lot of mentors, so I had to grow up fast for my younger ones. I made a lot of mistakes, mm-hmm. if I'm not going to lie. I'm just like, I didn't make some smart investments, mm-hmm. I would say. I was scammed a couple times.
Wow.
I started my business really early. Not this business, but I started business generally really early, like at the age of 13.
Oh my goodness.
I was selling firecrackers to my friends and like gift for like, you know, birthdays and Valentine's and whatever they wanted to do at the time. So I was just selling like gifts to people. And I moved from that to selling caps and shoes.
Wow.
And before like the clothing business became the next thing. So yeah, I made a lot of mistakes, but good thing is I'm here now and
yes.
I've learned from my mistakes. I didn't even realize how to write the business plan at the time
wow.
when I started my business. But, you know, I've learned over the years and I'm happy about that.
And learning is so important. I'm thrilled by the fact at such a young age you had that desire for business. But I'm not at my chief diversity officer chair. I'm also a business professor. I have been for 30 years. So I'm always fascinated to hear how people have that natural desire, you know, for the business. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What I really would love to ask you is, what would you say were a couple challenges that really stand out when you think of some things that you faced along your journey?
Like I said, I didn't know how to write the plan. A business plan was something that I had no idea how to write. So it hindered a lot. And I don't know, there's a saying that if you don't plan, you plan to fail. So I wasn't effectively planning because I didn't even know what I was doing. I wanted to make money to support my family. And because there was no funding for me, mm-hmm. I had to save a lot of money. That was another major challenge that I had. And brand acceptability was another thing because people were like, who is this
mm-hmm.
person trying to sell us this? You know, where are you from?
Do you feel that brand is growing?
Oh, yeah, my brand
absolutely.
Has grown. It has grown in the past. It has grown.
Wow.
I've been able to, like, style people for the red carpet and video shoots and things like that. So it has grown. But it's almost like I'm repeating the same thing again now in a new country. But I know I'll get there. you know.
Absolutely.
I know time teaches me a lot.
Oh, yes.
And even, you know, navigating and working with people has helped me a lot too.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that. I know that you're doing a lot of fantastic work here at Lansing Community College, working closely with students. And so this podcast is for our students, for me, first of all, and then everybody else, you know, at LCC and beyond LCC. But what would you say to some students who have that burning desire, like you did, to get into business? They may not have all the resources. They may be scared, very hesitant. What would some of the advice you would give to them?
First things first is believe in yourself.
Yep.
If you believe in yourself, always remember that the world will remember you for what you show you know how to do, not what you think you know mm-hmm. how to do. So believe in yourself and keep that fire burning. Find your tribe. They're out there. You know, another major thing that I felt was like, you know, I was like, I don't know who was going to buy my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But there were people out there that wanted to see what I had to offer. So if you find your tribe, you would eventually sell your clothes. And then don't be too emotional. Try to separate mm-hmm, yourself mm-hmm. from your business.
Very important.
One thing that I was failing at is that I wasn't paying myself for working in my organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I had to learn as I grew, that I am not the business. The business is the business. I'm separate from the business. I'm an employee of the business.
Yep.
So I needed to pay myself to compensate myself in a very decent way. So don't take anything personal. People. Try as much as possible to remember why you started and keep your head up.
I really, really like that. I say that to a lot of my students too. Don't just, you know, put yourself down, right? Lose your confidence. Don't do that. Just look at the business issues you're dealing with and be determined
yep.
to overcome them.
Yeah.
So I really, really like your response. But it's interesting, if you yourself were to go back 10 years in your life, what advice would you give to Lola?
I think the first thing I would do regarding my education is to get my master's done.
Mm-hmm.
I think this weight that I had is really affected me a lot, because as a person, I feel like my master's degree would have opened a lot of doors for
me.
Oh,
yes.
And yes, being investing, I would say that, you know, setting and the investments that I made, I didn't research properly
mm-hmm,
before
mm-hmm.
I invested in them. So don't just jump into like things,
exactly.
do your proper research, because yes, you might have the money, but if you don't do your research properly, things might happen and go south. So those are like the two major things that I'll have done differently, is invest wisely and get my master's degree.
Another excellent response. A lot of times I say to students is don't rush. Like my master's degree students, I teach doctoral students too, is just clearly decide what you desire to do and build the foundation. Don't rush and start to climb before you're ready. I say to a lot of people, one of my very strange hobbies is when I'm taking a drive, like in the evening, and I see new buildings being constructed, I pull off my car just to watch, especially when they're pouring the foundation. And many times I say to myself, if they don't pour that foundation well, everything that is built above that is at risk, right?
Yes, yes.
So to me, where business is concerned, 50% of the focus should be building that foundation.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that. Time helps, and building things from the bottom up is mm-hmm. better. Like your foundation has to be key.
Has to be solid.
Yeah.
Really important. We have to test that first. You know, oftentimes people say that in this life, when we think of success, our success, like your amazing success, we stand on the shoulders of others.
Yeah.
Who would you say was your greatest inspiration, and share why you chose that person or persons?
Oh, I did not mention earlier that I am an advocate for social justice.
Yeah.
There's a person I admire the most. I would say Fumulai Ransom Kuti. She's someone from my country who fought for, you know, equity
mm-hmm.
and equality for mm-hmm. women. That's some person that I look up to, even though, like, you know, she wasn't exactly this business tycoon, but I learned a lot of things from certain mm-hmm. things that she did. And as a business person, there was a guy that I never got the opportunity to meet back then. His name is Marco Martinez.
Mm.
While I was, like, you know, starting up my business, I would always, like, watch his stories and watch what's product and what it was trying to do to the world, because he also came from a humble background too. So that's another person that I look up to and pretty much wrote on what he did.
Isn't this wonderful having those role models, you know?
I mean, yeah, it is. It is very wonderful because everything starts from something.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And we cherish those people. I hope that you're in touch with them, and I'm sure they're very proud of the progress that you're making. It's so continuously amazing what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Another thought that comes to my mind is, what motivates you, Lola, to just keep going, even when it gets tough? Because we know some days can be really trying.
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up in the morning, it's like, wow, but I can do this. What pushes you forward?
My family.
Hmm.
Yep. My community. And the fact that I just enjoy helping people generally and putting a smile on people's face. My family is very huge for me because without them, I wouldn't be here.
Of course.
And my community, I feel like when I win, they all win. Because everybody took a bet on me. Yeah. So, yeah, those are like the
family element.
Yeah.
Are your seven younger siblings, any of them here?
None of them.
All back home?
Yes.
So I'm sure, I often say it's having WhatsApp help.
Yeah.
Because it's free, you're able to communicate closely with them.
Of course,
share
of course.
Photographs with them, yeah. Graphics with them. Mm-hmm. That's so important. They learn from
Thankful
what you're doing.
Technology.
Yep. Every time we've met, I mean, I am again and again and again, I'll say this, very, very impressed by how focused you are.
Thank you so
much. How determined you are for success, right? And then, of course, when you and I talk about your work here at LCC, you're just as committed,
yes.
Just as intense. Mm-hmm. So when you're not, wow, designing and helping students, what do you do for fun?
I love to travel.
Ooh.
I'm a very, like, I'm an avid traveler. I like to travel a lot. I love to listen to music, specifically Afrobeat.
Mm-hmm.
It's African music, but I really love to listen to music. And I love to research. That's
any specific areas?
Pretty much things about education, mm-hmm, generally, mm-hmm. About, you know, things in my field, counseling.
I would think so.
You know,
yeah.
Social work and things like that. I would love that. And then I love to also, like, go out and take walks. Those are, like, the things that I like to do.
We like a lot of the similar things. it's interesting, you know, when I think of your background, when I think of what you've gleaned from life so far in the area of counseling, and then there's designing. I remember years back in my country, I'm from Guyana, South America.
Okay.
There was an amazing fashion designer. And she used her gifting, her calling, to work with especially young girls in the country who were abused, mm. Who were, you know, felt that they couldn't do life. And it's amazing how she helped them to just look at themselves in the mirror and value who they are. Through clothing, through designing clothes, special clothing, having them wear that,
mm-hmm.
And feeling, wow, look at me, you know. Do you see that connection with what you're doing in the context of counseling, which is to help people to have better lives? And then you have this designing gift that also, when most of us dress and stand in front of a mirror, we feel good about ourselves.
Yeah.
How do you see bringing those together?
So, another thing that I did not mention is that my factory specifically is in the area that I was born,
mm-hmm.
Intentionally, because I train people for free and then employ them.
Wow.
So when I train them for free, I employ them. Most of them decide if they want to still stay and work on or start up their own business.
Wow.
I feel like it's a way to empower people around me instead of just, you know, giving them money every time.
Yes.
It's a way to teach them a skill that will better help them throughout their lives. And then for people who do not have opportunity for formal education, at least they have something, a skill set that they can use. So connecting, helping people, which is my passion, with also fashion, is kind of what I've been doing all my life. It's just that I need proper certifications and degrees right now. Yeah.
That's so amazing. I listen to you and I think the cliche you're referring to is, instead of just giving them fish, teach them how to fish.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
I had a desire from very, very, very young, constantly giving. Oh my gosh, constantly giving. We weren't the wealthiest in the country, but well enough that I would just pack my pockets and go find poor people and just give them stuff. And my mom told me the same thing. She said, sweetheart, you're not always going to have enough to give. give them something that can help them to multiply. And that's education for me.
Yes.
Giving them, like you are doing that in form of training. How do you go about recruiting those persons? Because I know you're from a country with millions,
yep,
not thousands. Is there a process in interviewing these persons? Are there certain things you're looking for?
Sometimes there are people who their parents bring them to me because I have like, you know, banners and flyers, yes, out there, free, yes, training. I mean, people like free things. That's the first thing. So when they come, I interview them and ask them questions. Is this something that you want to do? Some of them don't even know what they want,
exactly,
to do. It's just like, you know, my mom says I should come here, or my dad says I should come here. And I'm like, okay, test this out for like 2 weeks and let's see if you like it or not. Mm. And then some of them would say, okay, let's go. Some people would be like, I don't want to try it. I'm just here to report.
Yeah.
But majority of the people that have come have stayed.
Mm.
And that's how I have
that
the staff
says
strength.
A lot.
Yes. That's how I have the staff strength that I have right now.
That is truly amazing. Like we said, they just don't know something what they want to do, who they want to become, or maybe not even have the confidence they can become anything. And I remember many, many years ago when I went to work with a certain village in the Caribbean, and we were to bring education to persons who've never had education, but they didn't even feel they were worthy of it. We took in books, we took in laptops, all of that. And I remember the government saying to me, put all of that aside. You have to use psychology to help to change a mindset,
mm-hmm,
helping people to understand. And it's interesting, you have that background.
Yeah.
I know you're going into MSW. Have you found yourself needing to use that psychology, that counseling background, to help people to do that paradigm shift from I can't to oh yes, I can? Have you had to do that?
Yes, you know, counseling generally is about empowering people, giving them that, not just taking that choice away from them. And my degree is guidance and counseling, mm-hmm, is GNC.
Yes,
so
yes,
guidance typically would come before the problem, yes, and counseling, yes, after the problem. But I have been able to like guide people a lot with this. And there are people who in the past I've helped them financially, mm-hmm, and I said, you know what, come and try this, mm-hmm, and let's see if it works out for you. Because giving, I can continue to give you, but then again, I'll just continue to give you. You wouldn't have something that you would take with you for the rest of your life.
Correct.
So this has helped me a lot.
That's wonderful. Do you realize how many lives you're touching? And when you do the counseling, use the psychology, do the training, remember those persons are going out and sharing that with others. So it's that domino effect.
Yeah.
You know, Peter Drucker, father of management, said many times that throwing that one stone or pebble in a pond and just seeing it ripple out. I see your work like that, Lula.
Thank
just
you.
Just rippling out very far.
Thank you so
it's
much.
Truly amazing. So I know this is tough, but if I were to ask you, what is one main goal you have in your life as of today? What comes to mind?
Basically, is to make the world a better place than I found it. That's my major goal in life. I do also want to finish up with get my MSW done, get my, mm-hmm, master's done, and finish up with that and be able to impact more lives that way.
That's amazing. Let me ask you this. If you were to look ahead now and 10 years, you've gotten your master's, MSW, but 10 years from now, where do you see yourself?
Working in a school setting, number one, because I
really
love,
like that, right?
I love the educational world. I love working with students. I work higher education. I'm already in love with it at this point. So working in education, still running my business and on a bigger scale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's where I see myself 10 years and continue to help people in every capacity that I can.
So scaling up.
Yeah, scaling up, exactly.
And scaling up, and I imagine developing leaders who would have, because you can't do it all alone, developing trainer sessions, so you have to help people to do all of that and so on. You do such remarkable work that one listens to you and it's not just business and making profit.
Yeah.
It's all the other human things you do that come out of this. How can others help you make this the big thing you want it to be? How can we help your cause?
Right now, I'm still seeking funding
yeah.
for education. Yeah. So, the funding part is the missing part.
Is that funding for your education?
Yes, yeah, so as soon as I can get that out of it and collaborate with me. I also have a nonprofit that I'm trying to register back home.
So what would be the purpose of that?
It's to help people because the name of the nonprofit is Your Priority. So it's going to be helping people get funding for education. Well, starting with the girl child, a lot of the girl children in my school, in my country are not educated.
Oh, yes.
We're starting on the northern part of the country. And then collaborate with me and support my business too, because it helps me. Mm-hmm. You know, I make a lot of good designs. Like I said, my Instagram is BELUCCI_LBF. You can find majority of my work there.
Yeah.
Working on my website, and it's coming up pretty soon. So.
And thanks for sharing that again. I hope you'll be doing not just this with many, many more podcasts to get your voice out there, right? And the voice of others that you're working with.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's not easy running a business long distance. I've done it for years, right? I was fortunate in that there were times when I had staff in 13 countries. And many times people will say to me, how can you trust them? You know, they're in so many different countries. And I have to honestly say, Lola, it will come down to one simple four-letter word. Love.
True.
Just loving people, trusting them, believing them, and caring for them. In all my teams over the past 30 years, honestly, I know when they're married, when there's a death in the family, a birth in the family, when there's a birthday in the family, because I love them to the point of caring. And I think when people feel that love and sincerity, they're willing to do almost anything, right? And so, again, I know it can be challenging, but I know it's doable. It can be a blessing. How have you found the experience in being here in America and having your manufacturing plant there? What has that been like doing that long distance management?
It's been tough.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie. It's been very tough. But I do have cameras. Another thing is that because majority of my staff members are people that I trained, so there's this sense of like commitment and loyalty that they have. And I also have my mom, who is kind of like in charge of like the day to day.
Who else can you trust?
You know, doing all of that for me. And I'm very appreciative of her. So she does all, you know, the other things, pieces that I'm not able to do in person. So I manage virtually and every other thing my mom handles.
Well, mom is your biggest champion. And I think that's wonderful. That's fantastic. I do encourage you.
Thank you.
Again, I'm impressed. I would love to see this grow, continue to grow. I encourage you to continue to show that love and support to your long distance team. You know, in business, we talk about entrepreneur. We've heard that word over and over. And that's you who find the funds, invest, you're carrying the money back for this business. But then we teach a lot about what we call intrapreneur, that lots of persons have not quite heard of that word. And that's where we're carrying the money back, but we're able to find persons such as mom and others who may not be the financial carriers of the business, but they're so committed. They're like an entrepreneur. We call them intrapreneur. They're inside running that business, owning their desk, and just want to see it do well as much as you do. So I hope that over your period of time, that you're able to find and build those entrepreneurs to the point where you can continue to travel and do what you have to do, knowing that all is well.
Yeah.
Lola, a lot about what today is about is not only because I'm impressed with you and I want others to know about you, but to give you a voice.
Thank
right.
You.
And so as we come to an end, closing to an end to our podcast, what are some things that come to mind that you haven't had a chance to say?
Firstly, for everybody listening to me, I want to say again, keep your head up, believe in yourself. Nothing comes from the comfort zone. You know, try to stretch yourself, like understand that impact and value. Anywhere those two go, money follows. So just focus on impact and value.
That's wonderful. And Lola, on behalf of all of us, we love you.
Thank you.
We value you. And we pray God will bless you with all of your efforts.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for being a part of our journey.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care.
This concludes today's episode of You Are Invited, hosted by Dr. Dale Dan. We hope this episode inspired you to reflect on your own experiences and share them with us. For additional resources on diversity and inclusion, visit us at lcc.edu/empowerment. We'd also love to hear your thoughts. Send your comments or questions to youareinvited@star.lcc.edu. Your voice helps shape future conversations. Let's keep building a stronger, more inclusive community together.
This has been a presentation of LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. All shows featured on LCC Connect are recorded at the WLNZ studio, located on LCC's downtown campus. Each program is podcast-based and can be heard anytime at lccconnect.org. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on one of our shows, connect with us by emailing lcc-connect@lcc.edu.